I'm Dan Rodericks, and this is Midday Friday. For the first time since April's rioting and the start of a surge of violence across the city, Baltimore Police Commissioner Anthony Batts joins us. Among our questions for the commissioner, is the surge due to fewer arrests by officers worried about being arrested themselves in the wake of the Freddie Gray case? Commissioner Batts joins us in the second hour of the show. Up front, the class of 2015, as young men and women prepare to graduate from area high schools. What are some of their hopes and dreams? We'll hear from a diverse group of seniors, including one going to the Naval Academy, one who wants to be an actress, and an immigrant who will be the first in his family to attend college. First, the news. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Midday Friday. Happy to be with you again. Dan Rodericks here. Thanks for joining us in WYPR, Baltimore, WYPF Frederick in Hagerstown, Western Maryland, WYPO on the Eastern Shore and Ocean City, and streaming to you live online through WYPR.org. Don't forget, we also have podcasts of our show available every day after 3 p.m., and they stay online for virtually ever at WYPR.org. The police commissioner of Baltimore, Anthony Batts, will be joining us in the second hour of our show today to answer our questions about the ongoing violence in Baltimore City. The first opportunity we've had to speak to Commissioner Batts since the unrest of April and the surge of violence that continues in Baltimore. He'll be here. He's scheduled to be here about 1:15 or 1:20 p.m. So he'll be with us in the second hour. In this first hour and part of the second hour, we've invited some members of the high school class of 2015 to visit with us here at Midday to share their thoughts, talk about their hopes and dreams for the future, tell us about their plans as they prepare to graduate from high school. One of our guests is a track and field athlete who is headed to the Naval Academy. One is already a certified nursing assistant who is preparing to go to college and study social work. And one dreams of going to Broadway and being an actress. And we'll also meet a young immigrant from El Salvador who will be the first in his family to attend college. That's all coming up in this very busy hour of our show. How will lessons they've learned in high school and homeschool settings help to take them to the next level of life and learning? And what do they think about the world around them? And where do they think they fit into that world? Where will they be 5 years from now? That big question. Remember being asked that when you were in high school? Anyway, let's meet our first guest, two young women, Amanda Green from Mercy High School here in Baltimore. Amanda, nice to have you in the studio.
It's great to be here.
And Emily Sprague is with us from Solace Point Technical High School in Dundalk and Chesapeake High in Baltimore County. Nice to have you with us too, Emily.
Thank you to have me.
We're going to start with Amanda. Let's see, Amanda, it says here that you're heading to the University of Maryland College Park for an honors program in is it molecular biology? Cell biology?
Cell biology and genetics.
Wow, that sounds heavy. Now, but what got you interested in that? That's what I'd like to know.
Well, I started high school dead set on becoming a mechanical engineer for some reason. And then I took freshman bio with my advisor, Miss Urias. God, I love her. And mm-hmm. The genetics chapter just completely captivated me. And then in chemistry, it just like the details like blow my mind. So I just want to like research cells and just how they function. And I don't know.
Mm-hmm. No, I understand that. Prior to that, say like in middle school, did you have an interest in science and math? Were you good at math?
Yeah, I'm pretty good at math. I've always loved science and like the healthcare field.
Mm-hmm. You know, we've done a couple of programs about the how young women are outnumbered by men in STEM. And you've heard that, haven't you?
So oh, yeah, I've heard that.
I guess you want to do something about it, huh?
Yeah, I mean, going to an all-girls school, you just don't have that same, this field is completely dominated by guys mm-hmm. kind of feel. You're mm-hmm. just, you like this? Go do it. Go be successful. So
excellent. How did you get into an honors program? Is this just based on your grades in high school, or have you done something extra?
I don't know. I'm probably just grades, and I do a few like leadership conferences throughout high school. So mm-hmm. probably that and my extracurricular involvement.
Oh, extracurricular. For, like what, for instance? Drama, for instance, maybe?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm I do the sound for school productions, like dance troupe and theater. And then
You're a tech.
Yeah, I'm a techie.
Oh, you like that, huh?
Yeah, and outside of school, I act with a travel group.
What do you, a travel group, meaning what?
Schoolhouse Theater Arts. Like, we went to Disney and performed songs and parts of Mulan. We got a superior rating, so it's good.
Excellent. Well, excellent, Amanda. What was the best part of high school for you? Was it getting turned on to molecular biology, genetics, chemistry? Chemistry, that part of my brain never worked, so I congratulate you on that. It still doesn't all these years later. But
I'd have to say two things. Just the labs in every science class, whether it's physics, chemistry, or bio, and then set build for theater.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta love set build.
Does it seem like in that field, studying cellular biology, molecular biology, genetics, there's endless possibilities to it? Like, if I say to you, like, what do you think you're going to end up researching or studying? You actually don't know where it will take you, do you?
Actually, I know I want to study viruses.
Oh, okay.
And in that field, there's endless possibilities. I mean, you saw with, like, the Ebola outbreak, there's just a lot of dangerous things that, I mean, nature still has in store for us. So
right.
It's just, in bio this year, going through each chapter, I would, like, look at things and certain processes would be explained, and then they're just like, oh, this is still being researched. That's still being researched. And I'm like,
yeah.
Well, I want to know.
We want to know some more. So infectious diseases of interest to you.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
That's great. What I
want to
do.
That's great. That's great. By the way, Monday on our show, we're talking about Lyme disease for an hour.
I had that in sixth grade.
Did you?
Yeah.
How you doing now? All right?
Oh,
I guess you're doing okay.
Perfectly fine.
Anyway, Johns Hopkins has opened a center for clinical research into Lyme disease, the first one of its kind. So we're going to be talking about that on our show on Monday. Anyway, it's nice to meet you, Amanda Green. We wish you well.
Thanks.
Turn now to Emily Sprague from Solis Point Technical High School. And I mentioned Chesapeake High School, too, because actually when you graduate, Emily, you graduate from Chesapeake High, right?
Yes, that's correct.
So tell us how that works in Baltimore County. You went to Solis Point Technical High School to take part in a special health professional professions program, right?
Yep, it was an allied health program. So what you do is you go half a day. So like my freshman year, I would go to my home school in the morning. And then right after lunch, we'd get on the bus and go to Solis for my technical programs, which would be the allied health. Well, freshman year, it was just like my core classes, the biology and the tech classes, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then my second year, I would go to Solis in the morning. So then that's when I started my allied health classes. And then the third year, I went to my home school in the morning and then transferred back to Solis in the afternoon. And I took allied health, pharmacy, and anatomy.
Hmm.
And that got my CNA through there.
Your CNA, that's a reference to certified nursing assistant. So you're already a certified nursing assistant. What do you get to do as a certified nursing assistant at the age of what, I guess, 18?
Yes, 18. We did an internship at Bayview for the last week to get our hours in order to get our certification. And what we would do was we'd follow around the nurse and we would clean the patients, change the sheets. I had a lot of bedridden patients, which means they can't get out of bed. So you had to actually change the sheets while they're in bed.
Yeah.
Bed baths.
Can I ask something? When you were studying towards your CNA, did you have any contact with patients at all? Or was this the first time? That's what I'm getting
at. Yep, that was the first time.
So what was that like for you?
It was different. It was very shocking, eye-opening to, like, everything we learned through the year. It was just eye-opening to how exact it was, like how
precise you have to be about things.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. So did you find the nurses helpful during your internship?
Yeah, you learned a lot of, they were just trying to get you to be comfortable in the situation, and they taught a lot of everything.
Well, yeah, because it's one thing to go from studying something, in theory, about things that actually have to treat patients. Mm-hmm. So what got you interested in this field? in health in general, and you weren't sure about being a nurse, or you know you wanted to be a medical professional, is it?
Yeah, so nursing runs in my family. My mom works in a doctor's office. My cousin is an RN. My aunt, she's a nurse. It just runs in the family.
It runs in the family. Or do you admire these people?
Yes, I do admire them.
Yeah, I think that's the key. I mean, you can have police officers, nurses, teachers in your family, and if you don't, you may not think that's for you, but you also may not admire what they're doing, right? But
right.
These are people you admire.
Yes.
Okay, excellent. So what happens now? You get a diploma from Chesapeake, your home school, home base school, right?
Yep.
And then what?
And then...
Where are you headed?
I'm going to Frostburg State University to study social work.
Study social work?
Yep.
Okay, so what happened to the idea of becoming a registered nurse?
I don't know. When I was in class learning about everything, we would learn about different things, different healthcare professions, like everything that, every step that you went through for to become a nurse. And I just kind of drifted off a little bit and learned about social working and got really interested in being a social worker for like troubled kids, foster kids. Just to hopefully change that program up a little
right.
bit.
So, what do you think you'll end up doing? If you want to answer that question, where are you going to be 5 years from now? That's a tough question. I remember somebody asking me that question. But what is your ambition? Do you have a dream?
Yes. Within 5 years, I want to be able to attend a graduate school to get my master's in social work, and then after that, I want to have my own little business facility type thing for where like foster kids can come stay and then do like go talk to the families and do like therapy with their families. So it's kind of not, so it's like they're not just taken from their families and they're away forever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I want to go and help the families so, you know, they're still in contact with their children and help them out.
So reunify them, maybe.
Yes.
Oh, excellent. Well, we wish you luck with that, Emily Sprague.
Thank you.
And Amanda Green, we wish you luck as well in curing diseases someday, right? What do you think? You laugh. That's a possibility, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess.
All right. And when is graduation? Did you already graduate? Or?
No, next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday. How about you, Emily?
June 2nd.
All
Tuesday.
Right. Well, congratulations on making it this far, and good luck to you.
Thank you.
You're listening to Midday here, folks. We're going to take a little break on Friday's show. Next up, we'll meet three more members of the class of 2015 as we spend a special hour of our show talking to local high school seniors about their plans for the future. So please stay with us. And welcome back to the Midday Friday show. Dan Roderick's here. Our next guests have been students at two independent parochial high schools in Baltimore. Michael Wegner is set to graduate from Loyola Blakefield in Towson on June 7th. Nice to have you on the show, Michael.
Thank you.
Jonathan Peraza will graduate from Cristo Rey Jesuit High School down in Fells Point on June 13th. Jonathan, welcome to Midday.
Thanks for having me.
And let's see, we have Michael, who's going off to the Naval Academy. Also sitting here with us in the studio is Inshira Gray, a senior at the Carver Center for Arts and Technology in Towson. And Cher, nice to have you with us, too.
Thank you for having me.
We're going to start with Michael Wegner. Michael's headed to the Naval Academy in Annapolis. How did that happen, Michael?
Well,
why did you aspire to the Naval Academy?
Late last summer, it hasn't been a lifetime dream, but late last summer, my youth group leader, Mr. Stum, mentioned that one of his former youth group people went to the Naval Academy and just started talking about this guy's life. That started the thought process. And when I came home, I mentioned it to my dad, and he's like, I think you'd be a really good officer.
Hmm.
And I spent some time thinking about it, went on a 3-week hike in the mountains, and as I was hiking, I kept thinking about it. I was like, you know, I don't really know what I want to do with my life, but the Navy sounds like it'd be pretty cool. So I started to look into it and look through all the little things I had to do, and I liked the process. It seemed pretty straightforward. For applying. Yeah. It's a pretty long application process, but once I started working on it, the more I did, the more excited I got about it. And it all started coming together.
Do you have any military in your family?
My dad's dad was in the Navy. He's an enlisted man. I never knew him because he died before I was born.
Mm-hmm.
But
so that wasn't really an influence.
No, not really.
Military Mm-mm. in the family. So what turned you on? You said the more I thought about it, the more excited I got. What do you think the possibilities are there?
Well, the idea of being pushed as far as I can go, the Naval Academy, as far as the schools I was accepted to, Naval Academy stood out to me in that you have to be well-rounded to go there. And when I went and visited the Naval Academy, the people there, their desire to succeed really inspired me. I wanted to be in a place surrounded by people like that.
Mm-hmm. And did you get the sense they want to succeed as naval officers, uh-huh. but also in life mm-hmm. beyond that? Did you talk to anybody about what happens after the Navy?
Well, you become an ensign, an officer in the Navy, and there are a lot of different paths you could take. During the summers, you have places to try that out, go on different types of ships, different places, mm-hmm. Meet people who are already in the Navy, and just get a good feel for it.
And, you know, people move on to other careers, too. Mm-hmm. Don't all have naval careers, long
yes.
naval careers.
You're required to serve for at least 5 years.
Right.
And some people stop after 5 years and then go into the civilian life.
So you must have been excited when you were accepted.
Very excited, yeah.
Who did you have to meet on the way to acceptance? I'm curious about how that works.
Well, you have
who
to
get, interviewed you?
You have to get a nomination from a senator or congressman.
Yeah, I know that part. So did Senator Mikulski or Cardin nominate you?
It was Congressman Sarbanes, actually.
Oh, you got a congressman to do it. Okay.
Uh-huh. So that was back in November, December. I had those interviews and the packets to send in.
Mm-hmm.
And when I found out I had gotten Sarbanes' nomination, I was really excited. Then after that, I kept working, finished the application for the Navy, and a lot of waiting at that point, a lot of waiting. And that was the hardest part for me because I'm a runner, and the scholarships for other schools, the longer I waited, would get less and less. So I was faced with a decision, like, am I going to wait for the Navy, which is my dream, or go to the other schools before it starts getting harder and harder to get to actually go to them?
Mm-hmm.
And I talked to a teacher at my school, Senior Prieto, and he said, go for it. If this is your dream, you go all the way, go all in. And that's what I did, and I waited, and I got accepted.
Michael Wegner is a long-distance runner. It says here, Michael, this year, cross-country champion for the MIAA, is that right?
Yes.
The Maryland Interscholastic Athletic Association.
Yes.
Wow. And how long have you been working at running?
Since elementary school. I started in fourth grade.
Really?
Yeah. I have a real passion for it.
I guess you must have in fourth grade. Did you have anybody else to run with who was your age or any peers at that age?
I joined the Howard County Junior Striders. Coach Phil coaches that. And I just fell in love with it. I loved racing. I loved going up against these other guys and giving it all I had. And as it went on, I started to go to regional national championships back in elementary and middle school and going to Loyola's team. I just loved it even more being in high school and having people from my own school running with me.
So will you be a runner at the Naval Academy? Do they expect that of you there?
I was not recruited, but I'll definitely be running.
Okay. So what happens now? It's late May. You're going to graduate from Loyola, next week?
June 7th.
Yeah. And then the Navy gets you. The Naval Academy gets you.
July 1st.
And I notice you keep your hair pretty short, You won't be dropping a lot of hair on the floor down there when the barbers get to you.
That's true. That's true. I'm halfway there.
So what happens? Is it July that you have to report?
Uh-huh. July 1st. And then there's 6 weeks of what they call plebe summer.
Oh, we've heard a lot about that.
Yes.
I'm sure you've heard a lot about that.
I have.
It doesn't intimidate you, though?
Not really. I'm ready for it.
Okay, Michael.
Well, at least I think I am now.
Well, it's nice to meet you, Michael Wegner.
Thank you.
Yeah, congratulations on graduating from Loyola next week and your cross-country accomplishments, and we wish you well at the Naval Academy.
Thank you so much.
We turn now to Anshira Gray from Carver Center for Arts and Technology in Towson, where I had a chance to visit that school this winter and speak to a class there. Anshira, very impressed. Lots of great questions from the students about the work that I do. So what have you been focusing on? I guess acting, right? At Carver.
Yeah, that's my prime there at Carver. That's why I applied to a lot of conservatories, because at conservatories you focus on your craft, and that's what I want to do. Like, I want to spend day and night focusing on acting and nothing else. Well, maybe other things.
Well, when did you first get interested in that?
I was 7 years old. My mom sent me to the Arena Players, and I was in the show Teeny Tiny Thumbelina, and at first I started off with one line, and I cried to my granny about it, and I was like, Granny, I only have one line, and she says, it's not about how many lines you have, it's about what you do with it. So I made sure I turned that line out. Then the director saw how I got my line down pat within the first day. I learned the choreography and the songs quickly, and she was like, do you want another part? And so then I got to play Susie Spider. So I was double casted. I loved the attention, and I felt really accomplished because theater is really hard. And I've been in love with it ever since.
So how about middle school?
I went to Sudbrook Magnet Middle School.
And did you do some acting there? Plays?
Yes. We do about 3 shows a year, and we have our fall one-act play festivals and stuff like that. I got to play Hamlet in the Shakespeare Project, and I was a storyteller in Once on This Island.
You got to play Hamlet?
Yes.
Can you give me a line from Hamlet? What's your favorite line from Hamlet?
Well, I actually...
Besides, you know, the one everyone gives.
I did that monologue.
Yeah.
What made me stop liking Hamlet, I had to do an English paper this year about Hamlet, how Hamlet changes. Hmm. And to me, I felt like Hamlet was such a complex character. However, I felt he stayed insane throughout the show.
You felt he stayed insane?
Yes.
Oh, you thought he was crazy all the way through?
Yes.
Yeah, driven crazy by what had happened to his...
Yeah, the poor thing's traumatized.
Yeah, yeah. Do you have a favorite line from it? I'm putting you on the spot a little bit.
Whether 'tis nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, or to take arms against a sea of troubles and by opposing we end. To die, to sleep perchance to dream. Aye, there is the rub, for in that sleep of death what dreams may come.
Thank you. And Shira Gray. Guys, what, you happy with that? Yeah, very good. Thank you very much, Jonathan.
Oh, and the speech, when Hamlet is telling his actors how to talk.
Yeah.
And not to be fake and not to self-generate. I learned that in eighth grade, and I always use that when working with Shakespeare, not to be all self-generated and just to be honest and not to play the language, but to actually know what you're talking about.
In senior year or junior year at Carver, what kind of roles did you have?
I've actually never been in a Carver show, but they've always offered me performance opportunities.
Hmm.
Freshman year, we did this thing called FSC, Freshman-Sophomore Collaboration, and we did this thing about the messenger, and we were just sending messages to the audience. That's how I interpreted, and I just talked about understanding, so that's the first thing I did. I played myself. Sophomore year, I got to play Mama in A Raisin in the Sun. My friend Kirsten directed a scene from it for FSC. And then junior year, we were doing monologues from what we learned in styles class and scenes, and I played Benita. I am obsessed with The Raisin in the Sun.
So you did this as part of classes?
Yes.
And not as a part of a production there?
Right.
Yeah.
And then this year in Capstone, we did solo shows, and I got to do a solo show about colorism.
Hmm.
That was the highlight of my high school experience.
What would you say? Can you tell us a little bit about that? Colorism.
Colorism. Well, colorism is basically the light skin, dark skin complex. A lot of people think that it's only in the black community, when it turns out it's in all communities of color, even in the white community. You know, some people want to be tan, some people want to be very pale. So it's mainly about the color of your skin more so than it is about ethnicity. And the character I played was named Ayana. That's my middle name. And she was 5 years old, and she suffered from colorism. But the thing was, Ayana didn't understand that colorism was wrong. People that told her she was ugly, she believed them. And she thought that she was ugly because she was brown, dark skin, not just because she was black, but because of the color of her skin. Eventually, the other character, Miss Moore, I had voiceovers. So I was on stage, and I had a voiceover with my voice asking questions.
So you had two roles?
Yes.
Was this an original script?
Yes, I wrote it.
Yeah, like a, sort of a monologue?
Yes,
or?
It was set up like a psychiatrist research paper, and the psychiatrist was asking Ayana all these questions, like, Ayana, do you think you're pretty? Do you think your mama's pretty? And in the end, the psychiatrist's goal is to get Ayana to say she's beautiful. And in the end of the show, I repeatedly say I'm beautiful until I burst into tears. Tears of joy, because I finally realize I'm beautiful. And the message that Miss Moore sends to Ayana is, your self-conscious believes anything you tell it, so be good to yourself.
That sounds great. You must have been very excited about being at Carver.
It
sounds like you had great opportunities there.
Yeah.
For original stuff, creative.
Yeah. Yeah, I grew a lot as a writer there. We always got English papers to do, and this year in Capstone really pushed me to dig deep into myself to write, because everything I write comes from me.
So, and Sherip, are you thinking about becoming a playwright, or are you thinking about
acting? I'm thinking about doing a lot of stuff, honestly. I want to act. I want to act in all 50 states. I want to do film. I want to direct. I want to one day produce a movie about mental health. That's a topic that's really important to me. And I love writing. I love creative writing. I'm not so good at argumentative writing. I'm a better verbal debater. But creative writing is my favorite.
You seem like you'd be a hard person to discourage.
I am.
But I know people say, oh, the arts. Oh, yeah, yeah, good luck with a career in that. You know, you ought to study a craft. You ought to get focused on a profession that'll pay you something, right? See, I don't know if you've heard that from anybody.
Oh, I've
but
gotten
you,
mixed results.
You eventually will, right?
Yeah, I've gotten mixed results.
Yeah.
One time, I experienced homelessness when I was in elementary school and middle school. And one night on Christmas Eve, my mom and I were out on the bus. We were on the number 8, Lutherville. And we met this homeless man, and I told him that I wanted to be an actor. And he was a Vietnam vet. And he said to me, always be working in that profession, because when you're not, someone else is. And I really didn't get
that. Wise thing to say, though.
Yeah, I really didn't get the understand what he meant by that until sophomore year, when like I learned that actors must be resourceful and that we must always be learning. That's what I love about acting. I'm always learning about life. I'm always learning about the human condition. I'm always learning about human nature. Yeah. And
you and your mother experienced a period of homelessness there. And these words have stuck with you all along from a person who was homeless at the time. So what is your ambition now? What's the next step for Inshira Gray?
Well, I'm going to be going to the American Musical and Dramatic Academy, also known as AMDA.
It's in New York City.
Yep. I'm in their 2-year conservatory program, and I plan to transfer into their Bachelor's of Fine Arts program. So I'll be spending 2 years in New York and 2 years in LA.
Do you sing?
A little bit.
Yeah, I detect that in your voice. Well, Inshira, it's been great to have you on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
We wish you good luck at the American Musical and Dramatic Academy in New York City, and your graduation from Carver is coming up
this Saturday.
All right. That's Inshira Gray. We turn now to Jonathan Peraza, who's joining us here from Cristo Rey Jesuit High School in Fells Point. Jonathan, nice to have you with us again.
Nice to have
you. So a little bit of background here. You actually were born in El Salvador, is that right?
No. I wanted to clear something up. Oh. I was actually born in California. I'm first generation American.
Okay, because we've been referring to you as an immigrant.
Yeah, when you guys said that, I was like, that's not right.
Well, let's clear that up. So you're first generation.
Yeah,
so
I'm first generation.
Was your mom from El Salvador?
Yeah, my mom and my father are both from El Salvador.
Okay, so you started off life in California.
Yeah, my mom wanted me to become an American citizen, so she was like, I'm going to go and have you in California. So I was born there in Sunnyvale, California. It's like a couple minutes away from San Francisco. And then my mom was like, actually, my dad was like, you know, we're going back to El Salvador. So, like, I was like, you know, not even 1 year old, and we went back to El Salvador, and that's where I grew up half of my life.
Okay. Now I understand a little better. So, your mother wanted you born in the U.S.
Yeah.
So you'd be a citizen.
Exactly, yeah.
But you actually, did you grow up in El Salvador? How many years did you spend there?
I spent 8 years there, yeah.
And then
we moved to Maryland, yeah.
Oh, okay. So then your family, you and your mother?
Yeah, just me and my mother, because that's the reason why we moved, is because my father passed away when I was 8 years old.
But your father died when you were 8.
Yeah.
You and your mother immigrated to the U.S.
Yeah.
And you ended up, why Maryland? Do you know why your mother chose Maryland?
Well, she didn't choose it. My sister was already living there.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, she gave us, like, you know, a place to live.
Okay. Well, you're sort of an immigrant then.
In a way.
But you have American citizenship.
Yes, I do. Yeah.
Okay. And so you settled here in Maryland because your sister was already here. Where'd you go to school before Cristo Rey? I mean.
Before Cristo Rey, I went to Hampstead Hill Academy. And before that, I went to Oakland Mills Middle School. And then before that, I went to Running Brook Elementary School. That was the first American school I went to.
How was the adjustment for you, starting with language, when you were a kid at Hampstead Hill over in southeast Baltimore?
I was comfortable with it. Like, when I was living in El Salvador, my niece would travel back and forth because, you know, she would spend time there for vacation. And so she knew English, and I kind of knew it, but, like, I didn't understand it. But I would practice with her English, and somehow I ended up, like, just getting it. So, yeah, that's how I...
So it came to you quickly?
I guess.
And what has Cristo Rey been like for you? I remember when the school opened in Fells Point. It's only been open maybe, 7 or 8 years
now? Yeah.
What has it been like for you there?
It's been amazing.
What do you tell us a little bit about it?
Well, Cristo Rey, where can I say? What caught my attention about Cristo Rey was I remember Mr. Austin, he came to Hampstead Hill Academy, and you know, he gave his presentation about Crystal Ray. And what caught my attention was this program they have called CIP, Corporate Internship Program, where once a week students are able to go to a real professional work environment and like experience what it's like to actually work at a, you know, a real job.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
the way it's set up.
Yeah.
So you like that part of it?
Oh, yeah.
That wasn't a drag. You actually liked
it. Yeah,
I
liked it.
Okay.
I liked it.
So where did you go?
My first year, I went to Whiting Turner Contracting Company in the IT department. Hmm. But I ended up staying there.
Oh, really?
I ended up there for, 4 years.
You did your whole internship there?
Yep.
Now, I note here that you've had a part-time job while going to school?
Yes.
Yes. In IT or something related?
Yeah. In IT, like I would go work at Whiting Turner. You know.
But, no, I mean.
Oh,
like, I mean, you have a real job.
Oh, yeah.
It actually pays you.
Yeah,
wage.
It actually pays me. Yeah, yeah. Chick-fil-A. I work at Chick-fil-A.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You know.
In IT, no.
No, not
actually
in IT.
Cooking.
Yeah, just serving.
Okay. So what happens now, Jonathan? You'll be the first in your family to attend a college.
Yes.
So where are you going?
Yes. McDaniel College.
What made you decide on McDaniel out in Carroll County?
The campus, like, it reminds me so much about Crystal Ray, because like, I'm not used to going to, like, you know, a public school, you know, with like filled with hundreds of kids. Like I like, you know, a smaller setting. So
what do you want to study?
Well, I'm going undecided into McDaniel, but I'm definitely gonna do something with linguistics, because like I just love speaking different languages. Like right now, I'm currently just, you know, on the side, just trying to study Portuguese, and because I already know English, I already know Spanish. And the reason why I want to learn Portuguese is because of one of my professors, Mr. Smith. He's just such a huge role model for me, because he knows so many languages, and I want to be able to do what he does.
What do you think you can do? I guess there's a lot you can do with when you have a master a few languages.
Right. Well, I want to travel the world. So, you know, I think a good place for me to work at would be like the UN. So hopefully.
Why not?
Yeah, why not? Why not? So, yeah.
Well, Jonathan Peraza, we wish you luck.
Thank you.
When is graduation from Cristo Rey?
June 13th.
And do they hold that at the cathedral?
Yes.
Cathedral of Mary Our Queen?
Yeah.
How do you say that in Spanish? Mary Our Queen.
Reina de what was Mary?
Mary. Maria.
Maria. Maria, sí.
Maria what?
Maria.
Our Queen.
Nuestra Reina.
Gracias.
De nada.
Or in Portuguese, obrigado.
Obrigado.
Jonathan Peraza from Crystal Ray Jesuit High School. Well, congratulations and good luck to you, Jonathan.
Thank you.
And
so much.
Also, Michael Wegner, again, good luck to you and Shira Gray.
Thank you.
All right. We'll take another break here on Midday Friday and come back and meet some more members of the class of 2015. So please stay with us. Now we welcome some more members of the class of 2015 to Studio A here for Midday Friday. Joining us now, high school senior Michael Richardson, who is homeschooled, has been homeschooled since eighth grade, and he'll be attending CCBC in the fall, where he's planning to study criminal justice. Nice to have you with us, Michael.
Nice to be here.
Yeah. Jacob Burge is with us, a senior at Solace Point Technical High School in Dundalk. What's your home high school, Jacob?
My home high school is Patapsco High School.
Patapsco High. All right. And you've been studying automotive at mechanics at Solace Point, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Nice to have you with us.
Thank you.
And it's Alan Easterling.
Yes.
Alan from good old Poly here in Baltimore City, Baltimore Polytech Institute, homeschooled for the first year of middle school and then attended Roland Park Elementary and Middle School. And now in the fall, you're going to be going to Georgetown, it says.
Yes, sir.
Well, it's nice to have you with us too, Alan.
Thank you.
But I'll start with Michael Richardson. So, Michael, how's it going?
It's good.
How do you graduate from homeschool? Do you have a ceremony? Do you get to have a graduation ceremony?
I mean, there's a choice. You can have a graduation ceremony. I didn't want one, so I was graduating under an umbrella group. So,
How does that work, an umbrella group? You mean a group of other homeschooled students?
Yeah, so I don't know the exact nature of it. My mom kind of did that stuff, but yeah.
Where do you live in the Baltimore City? Or
I live in Woodlawn.
In Woodlawn. So did you have a discussion with your mom way back when about being homeschooled?
Well, in the beginning of eighth grade, I got real sick, and so I was out of school for a while. And then when I went back, I had a couple problems with the teachers and things about my way of learning. So my mom decided to take me out and go a different route. So we found this great place called BHCC. It's a community center of homeschoolers that kind of gather around from everybody. And we just go and we learn. But the thing I like about homeschooling is we don't have to just sit in a classroom and learn. We get to experience things in real life and learn from each other. You can be yourself and just really prosper in that direction.
And your mom had to learn how to do this, right?
Yeah, it was a struggle for her, but she got through it, and I'm really proud of her, actually.
It worked out pretty good with your mom all the way through?
Yeah.
What about friendships? You know, I always wonder about that. I assume you can make friends whether or not you're in school.
Yeah, it wasn't really hard to make friends since I did go to public school before eighth grade.
Before eighth grade.
So I knew a lot of people from around the neighborhood. And I actually, the great thing about my, is we got to play, I got to play varsity basketball through like, it's called CHEN, it's Christian Education Network. And it's great. We play as MIAC, I think, conference.
Mm-hmm.
So we play a lot of different Christian organizations. Varsity.
Oh, I see. What was the name of your team?
CHEN.
And you called it CHEN.
CHEN, yeah.
Yeah. And what did you play?
I played point guard
for
3 years on varsity.
Yeah? You any good? You play some ball? You're good?
Huh? Yeah, I have scholar scouts looking at me now. So.
Oh, really?
It's fun, yeah. I also play for an AAU program called the Royals, and it's great. We take a lot of kids. We have kids from Lansdowne High, Edmondson, Delaney, and we just bring them together, and we just get to play basketball, have fun.
Of all the subjects that you studied as a homeschooled student, which one did you like the most?
Greek mythology.
Greek mythology?
That's my favorite.
You got a favorite god you want to mention?
Hades is actually
Hades
my
loves
favorite.
He loves to be mentioned, you know.
I love Hades.
You know, a lot of people will say, Hades, well, he's the bad guy.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see him as a bad guy. I see him, he got a bad luck. He got, you know.
Really? So he had some bad luck in life? That's how he ended up as Hades?
You know, it's the straw pick. So Zeus got the pick, and then Poseidon got the second longest straw, and he got the last. It was just pick of the draw, you know.
You know, I actually never knew that. I have to go back and read my Edith Hamilton. So what happens now? I mentioned CCBC, right?
Yeah.
So you're going to go there for a couple of years, you think?
Couple of years. I really want to study criminal justice. My dad's like a real role model to me. And he actually is on DEA in New York.
He's with the Drug Enforcement Administration?
Yeah, so it's real cool to see him when I was growing up go in and learn all this stuff about law. And it was kind of just like, it piqued my interest, and I was like, let's go for it. So
you think, is there a possibility of going to law school someday? What part of the law interests you?
I want to be a homicide detective.
Okay, so law enforcement.
Yeah, so helping out the community, figuring out problems, trying to make a community whole without having problems. And especially, and like, I hate to see my city like real broken. I like having everything whole. I'm real kind of.
That's interesting. So you think you'd stay in Baltimore and work here?
Definitely.
You know, the police commissioner, Anthony Batts, is going to be here in about a half an hour, we hope. So you might want to stick around, have some Joe Squared pizza, and wait for the commissioner and talk to him.
I'll do that. I would do that.
I bet he'd like to meet you. That's interesting. I was wondering about other college students who grew up in Baltimore and have an interest in the problems of the city, you know, whether it's on the law side, social work side, working with kids in, you know, kindergarten or anywhere in the educational system, whether they would make a commitment to work in their hometown, not move away, stay here and help fix this place.
Yeah, I mean, until I get to the point of when I can become a law enforcement agent, I actually am going to help out with youth basketball around the community, help out the kids, give them a chance to do something other than to run the streets, to play basketball, and, you know, I really love doing that.
Excellent, Michael. Nice to have you with us.
Thanks.
Yeah, and congratulations on getting through through your senior year and off to CCBC, and then maybe after that, finish at a 4-year school.
Yeah.
Jacob Burge. We'll go to Jacob next. Jacob Burge is a senior at Solace Point Technical High. He said Patapsco High is your home school.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. So tell us about that. Going to Solace Point and auto mechanics. Did you go there for that reason, Jacob? Were you thinking something else, and then you got pulled into that program?
I honestly have many interests that the school actually taught programs in, but one of my main interests is basically anything with an engine, and the auto service magnet at Siler's allowed me to learn more about late model cars and that sort of thing.
Can you describe it for us? When you go there each day over the last, what, 4 years or 3 years? How many years have you been going
say,
there?
The first year is sort of like a prerequisite class sort of year. You take your science, math, engineering, tech, that sort of thing. And then most programs are 2 years within the actual technical area.
With your actual hands on an automotive engine, on cars and trucks?
It was some hands on, yes. It was kind of split 50-50, 60-40 in shop time, hands on time, and then lecture time. It wasn't all hands on, it wasn't all lecture. It was a good mix.
So you have an interest in automobiles, trucks, cars. You said anything with an engine in it.
Yes.
Right. Okay. It wasn't like somebody said to you, you know, young man, if you want to make some money, if you want to get focused on a career, look to auto mechanics. You had that interest anyway.
Yes. I've always been interested in performance side of things, mm-hmm. Cars, motorcycles, anything really. And the inner workings of an engine alone, let alone a whole car, it's so interesting to see everything working in sync together to one common goal.
Right. Now it's a little different these days with so many computerized elements of the engine, of the way a car or truck works, right?
So yes.
You've had to learn all that. Now, do you find that as challenging as the old style garage mechanic with a lot more moving parts? Well, I guess they still have a lot of moving parts. It's just that the diagnostics of it all is, you have a lot of help with computers.
If there's one thing I learned in this industry as I'm now working in the automotive industry, it's that you will always find someone out there that will be smarter than you when it comes to a car issue.
Oh, so that makes it a challenge for you.
Honestly, say you have a classic car and mm-hmm. you have a problem within that car, someone who's older, more experienced with that particular issue could look at it or hear about your problem and know off the top of their head what it is, whereas someone who's newer can tell you all about the technical issues of newer cars.
So when I meant by challenge, I meant that that's what turns you on about it.
Oh, yes,
there's so much to learn about so many different automobiles, cars, trucks, right?
Yes.
I'd say you're wearing a Thompson Automotive Group polo shirt in here today,
yes,
a blue
actually,
one with white lettering. So you actually are working already, is that right?
I came from work to here this morning, so yes, I'm working at Thompson Hyundai.
Oh, well, I want to thank Thompson for letting Jacob Burge off for a few minutes to come in and talk with us. So what happens now? Do you have to, I guess you don't have to go to college? Is that your plan, though? What are you thinking about?
Honestly, wherever life really takes me is where I want to go. I don't know where I'm going to be in 5 years. I don't know how I'm going to get there, but I'm just going to keep trying and try and live the richest, fullest life I can.
Maybe have your own business?
I've thought about that in the past,
mm-hmm,
yes.
Mm-hmm. Maybe work on high-performance Porsches or something like that, huh?
That would be a dream.
Become a NASCAR guy? No, he's frowning when I said NASCAR. I'm sorry.
More of a Formula One MotoGP sort of guy.
Oh, okay. Nice to have you with us, Jacob.
Thank you.
Yeah, and graduation is next week?
Graduation was actually this past Wednesday.
Oh, he's off and running. So he graduated from Patapsco. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And he's down at Thompson Automotive Hyundai, right?
Mm-hmm.
Way to go. Alan Easterling is our final student for this hour of Midday Friday from Baltimore Polytech Institute. Pauly, homeschooled up until 7th to 8th grade, right?
Actually, I was only homeschooled for 6th grade, just 1 year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That's right. Then you went to
Roland Park Middle School, part of the Ingenuity program there, and then transitioned to Pauly for high school.
So you're in the Ingenuity program.
Yes, sir.
Just to remind people about what that is.
Ingenuity is an accelerated math and science program in middle school and high school where it takes some of the best students from around the city. And we basically are learning at an extremely fast rate for our math programs, our science. It's integrated within the Baltimore City public schools. So, we're still city students.
Right.
We're still very much a part of the city public schools. So it's a great program that I love.
What turns you on? What part of math or science gets you the most excited?
I'm not really sure. I've just always, it just kind of felt natural to go there, to go to a math and science high school. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be an engineer when I first went to Poly. I wanted to be an astronaut. That was what I'd been fixated on since I was three. I loved space. And then I took physics sophomore year, and I learned that physics really wasn't my strong suit. I wasn't as good at it. I didn't like it as much. And
do you feel bad about that?
No, I don't regret going to
Poly.
Don't
feel bad.
I don't regret going to
Poly. You know how I got through physics? I joined the Rocket Club. I made a deal with the physics teacher that if I joined the Rocket Club, the Model Rocket Club, and I did well shooting off rockets behind the school, that he would give me whatever I needed to pass physics. So, but you've moved on.
I don't regret going to Poly at all. It's been an amazing school. Even if I'm not going into a math and science field, I'm actually going to international politics at Georgetown, because I'm fascinated by international affairs, international relations, and things like that.
Well, that's really interesting. So you've been in the ingenuity program, math science,
right?
But your interest is in international relations. So you're headed off to George Washington.
Georgetown.
I'm sorry, Georgetown.
Yes.
So you might end up being in the State Department or something like that. What are you thinking?
I don't know exactly where I want to end up. I'm thinking about some form of political consulting, some form of strategy or analysis.
Oh, so you like politics.
I'm not sure. I don't want to run for office. I know that. I'd rather be the person behind the scenes constructing the policies than the person who's actually out in front proposing them.
So you're interested in policy?
Yes.
Not so much the political grandstanding,
right.
The politics. You're interested in developing policy.
Yes.
What gets you interested in that, Alan?
I mean,
you have a nose for news. You follow the news.
Follow the news. What really got me interested was I started debate in freshman year, and that really... it really took off from there, just talking about all these different current day issues that really impact the entire world, but also have an impact on the community around me. And just seeing how everything interacts really showed me how I really have a passion for improving the lives of everyone around me and just trying to make the world a better place.
It's the Georgetown University Walsh School of Foreign Service.
Yes.
Were you on the debate team?
Briefly on the debate team at Poly, I was also part of a debate team out in Howard County that did some national traveling to different tournaments. It was just a great experience all around, having the Poly family, Poly community really just bringing in ideas from there, bringing in ideas from the Howard County team. And every facet really fueled me to explore all these issues more.
Hmm. You hear a lot of people complain about the government these days, federal government. Government can't get things done. It's a lot of complaints about government.
Yes.
But you think you can make government work?
I don't know.
You're a piece of it someday?
I hope that I can at least make a small part of it work better. I don't think I'll ever be able to, reach some point where I can fix the entire government. But
not
I have
the
some
entire
ideas.
Government.
Oh,
no,
gosh,
no. You're
no.
a little piece of it.
Yes. I don't even know what field I want to go into, just some form of political consulting.
Alan Easterling, well, maybe you'll be a political consultant. You won't work in the government. Maybe
no.
You'll be a lobbyist. Maybe we'll be talking about you on the air someday.
Maybe.
All right. Alan Easterling from Poly, right here in Baltimore. When is graduation?
Sunday.
This Sunday. And then he's off to Georgetown. Well, we wish you luck.
Thank you.
And again, Michael Richardson, good luck to you.
Thank you.
And Jacob Burge, thanks for making time out from work today to be with us.
Thank you.
All right, folks, please stay with us. The second hour of Midday is coming up. Police Commissioner Anthony Batts will be joining us about 1:20 or so. And we'll meet a couple more high school students before the commissioner gets here. We'll take a break now for lunch, brought to us on Friday by Joe Squared Pizza, provided by Joe Squared at 133 West North Avenue in the Station North neighborhood, and at the Inner Harbor at Power Plant Live. Thanks, Joe Squared.